Welcome to the Recruitment Leadership Podcast, hosted by Alison Humphreys. The Recruitment Leadership Podcast is here to help those in the recruitment industry gain awareness and understanding on the hot topics faced by those in the business of hiring people. In each episode, Alison Humphreys is joined by a fellow expert to offer professional knowledge, insight, and advice on the biggest subjects affecting recruitment businesses. It's the podcast to listen to for recruitment business frontrunners seeking expert information from industry-leading advisors. Welcome to the Recruitment Leadership Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Recruitment Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Alison Humphreys, and today I am delighted to be joined by James Kingston of Kingston Barnes. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, Kingston Barnes is a Bristol-based recruitment consultancy operating over the construction, engineering, manufacturing, and logistics and supply chain markets. It's now 10 years old. And James currently employs more than 25 people and has been awarded from several sources, including one of his clients' supply chain awards, for an award for equality, diversity and inclusion. And more recently, the Sunday Times, Great Place to Work. So congratulations on those, James, and welcome to our podcast.
Thanks, Alison.
Today, James and I are going to explore, you guessed it, automation and AI. And I particularly wanted to talk to James as a small, medium business owner about the application of AI and his journey through automation. Because what I'm noticing when I talk to recruitment business owners is that a lot of people are highly aware of the possibilities now, but they are almost frozen in terms of, but where do I start? There are so many possibilities. And of course, the opening up of ChatGPT as an open access platform has really brought it much closer to people, and AI no longer seems to be quite the preserve of arcane circles of specialists. And it's actually there, visible, and people are beginning to see what they can do directly with it. So, James, when you and I first spoke, what interested me was that you take quite a nuanced view of automation and AI in recruitment. And unlike a lot of the people who would like to be guests on this podcast, you are not just plugging a product. Could you tell us about your journey with automation and AI? How did you start implementing it, and why?
Oh, that's a lot of good questions there, Alison. Thank you for the lovely introduction as well. I think, I'm like a lot of your listeners, really. I'm a recruitment leader keen to improve productivity, revenue, ultimately make more placements. And in a hard market, we're regularly having to look for that competitive edge to answer the question to ultimately how do we make more effective placements. So my approach with AI and automation, you're exactly right. I've got no ulterior motive other than I'm a business leader looking to explore something which looks very new and shiny at the moment. I'm still an old school recruiter at heart, so I do still very much believe that recruitment is consultative when it's at its best in person to person. But I always remember when LinkedIn first came to the market, and then every recruiter's initial reaction was, oh God, this is the end of recruitment as we know it. But now it's a key part of our day to day, and it's opening up more markets. So it's been, I guess, from a business perspective, I'm keen to explore more. So my approach with AI and automation has been very much around curiosity, but with a bit of caution as well. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Amazon. I think it was around 2017, 2018, they brought to market this exciting bit of recruitment tech that it was AI and automation based, and the whole point around the technology was that it would make recruitment a lot quicker, a lot more effective, and that their plan was to use it in-house for large volume recruitment. And for example, if they had 100 CVs, it would analyze the CVs based on the information input, and it'll pop out 5 perfect candidates, which I thought, God, wow, if we can implement that at KB, all of a sudden we're going to be making hundreds of placements on a monthly basis. So really watched that with great interest. But the reality was the software had a few bits of fault in it. The code wasn't quite written right. And unfortunately, it ended up showing a bias against women. And also, it was discounting a couple of key people within that. So ever since that moment, I thought, God, Jesus, if I'm relying on a bit of tech to make the consultative decision, that you know, very much like most business owners, we've got to be very careful of our brand and be a bit cautious in terms of how we approach it. But you know, within AI, there is some great tech. You've mentioned ChatGPT. I think it's very easily accessible. And funny, I've used that today to answer one of your questions a bit later in the podcast, just to sort of demonstrate the impact it can have on that. But I think for me, with my journey within AI and my awareness of it, it originally started with Siri, funny enough, which all the key questions to my son William's 5-year-old mind. But more seriousness with sort of recruiting day to day, I've implemented the first bit of tech, because I think that was your question, what's the first bit of tech we've used? Something called Dripify. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It's automation, it's not AI. And it's quite interesting when you ask people what the difference between the two is, because some people don't really know. But AI is obviously systems that will mimic human intelligence that can learn and problem solve, whereas automation is very much following a sequence and rule-based, which is largely based around the input and data that you give it. So Dripify is a good bit of automation. It pairs up with LinkedIn. You input key bits of audience and it will follow a sequence of events. And I've actually used that to promote my book, which is the Art of Recruitment. I wanted to be able to reach anyone that's in recruitment, which is the target audience. And on a daily basis, it will follow a sequence of messaging. And off the back of that, yeah, we've sold hundreds of copies through that one medium. So for me, it's reached an awful lot of people. I haven't really had to do a huge amount of admin in terms of managing that day to day. And it's kind of taken over itself. So from a time saving perspective and a success perspective, it's been great. On the negative side of using that kind of automation, I used it to positively headhunt a member of our staff who's joined last year, who set up a new division. So it's approached a whole variety of recruiters very positively, very successfully. On the negative side, it headhunted one of my wife's staff who works for another recruiter. So unfortunately,
your firm headhunted one of her staff. Lovely.
And again, this is coming through an automation. So yeah, a bit of an awkward conversation in the Kingston household about how on earth did you and why have you approached one of my staff? But again, it's down to the automation. So the target audience within the search string on LinkedIn that was put into the sequencing, it pulled the 3 members of staff, and it's like anything, it's only as good as the information you input into it, isn't it? So once you realize the trial and error, you can then remove key areas and tweak, and thankfully it's not done that again. But that was my sort of first experience with automation. Yes. Really.
You make some interesting points there. I mean, I think most people are aware that early stage AI used to automate the recruitment process did turn out to embed bias, because of course it's all based on historical data, isn't it? And if men right. have mainly done tech roles, then it's going to reinforce that. You also make the point that you've got to trial things and tweak them. So I have seen some disasters of mass sequencing go out to a really unselected or not properly selected list of people on LinkedIn. You know, it's a 2-word search on LinkedIn to come up with a group of people. And a classic example, which I've mentioned before on podcasts, is that, of course, if people search for director, staffing and hiring, I would be on that list. Mm-hmm. But my inbox is stuffed with, hi, Alison, you know, I've taken a look at your website and I can solve your candidate, your CV resourcing problems. Kind of obvious that you haven't actually looked at my website. So as I look around the recruitment landscape, James, I broadly can break down people's use of automation and AI into three headings, right? One is content generation. So, you know, people using ChatGPT to produce something, as, or even as just as a start to help them sort of get some ideas for content. The second is automated outreach. Griffith has a good example. And the third is then automating repetitive processes, you know, confirmation of interview times, or sent, yeah, obviously things like, you know, compliance automation, that kind of thing. So thinking about the whole landscape there, what other parts of the recruitment workflow have you decided to automate? And can you also talk to us about your choice of partners to work with to do that?
Yeah, it's a really interesting. I mean, you know, AI at the moment is still in its infancy, so it's a bit like you know, a first generation or pilot of a new car. You've got to be a bit careful with it because the gremlins haven't quite been kinked out yet. And you know, for example, Red Nevada, I think, is a on one of your podcasts. We've trialed those recently, and that's it. You know, in essence, a lot of good potential there, but it's still quite admin heavy in order to make it work and function with what we needed to do. We'd have to take out a lot of data, put in a lot of data for it to analyze it, and it can only do about 5 CVs at a time, I believe. So it, within a lot of AI, it's the market's not quite there yet, but it's quite an exciting time in terms of where it could get to. But in terms of what we're currently using at Kingston Barnes, you know, key thing, basic LinkedIn automation tools, things like auto replies, follow-ups are working for us quite significantly. Drippify we use from a business development perspective. It's been great from lead generation, but again, it's only as good as the information that you're putting into it. Our CRM, which we're currently using Firefish, is going through quite a bit of investment, and they're looking at key audience and process improvement with automation and AI. So that hopefully in the next couple of months we'll start to see a bit more. But we, you know, it's like what you said with certain sequencing and patterns, we use that for things like mail shots to reach a wider audience, and it manages our GDPR function within Firefish, so it'll do. And every time one of our placements within the first week of getting it, get a congratulatory email and please give feedback on your experience with Kingston Barnes. And that audience is predefined. Once somebody's placed it, it will follow a sequence of events. And that, from our means, we're not missing the trick in that respect. That's worked very, very well. ChatGPT, we use, or I personally use, probably more so in the last 6 months than ever. Only around the topic of research that I've done around AI. It's written some of our job adverts for us, some creative content. Yeah, it's been quite interesting just sort of seeing the approach, and you can have a conversation with ChatGPT around changing the approach as well. Yeah, if you want to make it less formal and you want to incorporate things. I mean, it's a bit like asking an apprentice to write a job advert for you. You know, it'll fumble around a little bit. There's some good effort going in and some good content, but it does need an awful lot of tweaks, and it still needs an awful lot of human management to get the kind of end result. And you certainly wouldn't want to publish anything off the first trial with it, because it'll be, yeah, I always look at, it's a bit like Siri. It's got access to all the library and all the information, but its comprehension isn't quite there yet in terms of exactly what you're looking for. But it's
interesting that you mentioned about producing job advert content. About 2 years ago, one of my clients rolled out a system to do that, and he was sold on the partner, whose name I can't remember now, claiming that they would attract a much more diverse audience, which is a laudable aim, right? And the way it certainly did, but it was an irrelevant diverse audience. So the way it did it was to remove anything distinctive about the ad, not just the, you know, the well-known words that indicate a particular gender or any of those things, but, you know, any requirements for anything. So it's actually moved on a really long way. I was quite impressed by a tool called JobScribe, which uses natural language and AI to identify a customer avatar for that role. As long as you give it the right job title, it will say, okay, look, it will trawl through the evidence and say, okay, we can see that adverts that got a really good response for this job title featured this and sold the job on that and so forth. And I was actually quite impressed by it. Let's just delve down a little. Sorry, did you have anything else you wanted to add about
No. You're exactly right. Again, I guess it just highlights the key to AI in general, or automation working. It's down to the amount of information that's inputted in the correct bit, and that comes down to the management of that process. So it does need a lot of auditing and a lot of tweaking in order for it to get the result. But I think the basics are kind of there. But it's it's quite an interesting observation, I guess.
So you just mentioned the importance of management. And I have observed, I'm sure like many of our listeners, lots of really enthusiastic, innovative business owners who do the pitch from some provider, are quite impressed, and then they sign up and walk onto the floor, tell the team, there you go, guys, roll with it. And then somewhat disappointed when nobody uses the new system or uses it and isn't very impressed by the results, and it effectively they've signed up to a contract and it just does nothing for them. So focusing now in your role as a business leader, mm-hmm. in implementation, what top bits of advice would you give other business leaders when they're implementing a new system?
Implementation of anything new, I mean, a prime example, we've had a very archaic CRM for about 10 years. You know, I'm like I said, I'm an old-fashioned recruiter at heart. So moving into, we've got a divide in the team. So we've got a old-school generation of recruiters, and then we've got the younger generation. So we've got a very different approach with tools, with technology. You know, a lot of the older staff will still get the younger team to do a lot of the things on the technology that they're not capable of doing. So we have a really big divide. So whenever we implement anything new, there's a lot of considerations that you've got to give to the team, and you need the trust and the buy-in, because ultimately if people aren't going to be using it to its full capability, it's not cheap. So we've gone from an archaic CRM to Firefish, which is the most modern cloud-based system, which from our perspective does a lot of things, can improve the process and improve productivity, ultimately resulting in more placements. So for me, the advice that I would give when implementing anything, whether it's a CRM, and I'll go through the process that we do first of all, is being curious. In the current market, you can't afford not to be. I think if you look at AI and automation in general, over the course of the next 5 to 10 years, it is going to take more and more parts of the recruitment process throughout, and it will make more placements, productivity improvements, and more effectiveness if it's done well. So when we're looking at investing, and when we looked into Firefish, it is significant trials, of which I involved a lot of the senior team to start with. We would spend hours going through various different trials with various different formats. You've mentioned yourself, you'll get promised and sold a lot from new businesses, but it won't quite be relevant. So we spent significant hours trialing it. And the great thing is we've got a lot of people within our supply chain that use it as well. So we could actually see a live system of it to make sure that it was where it needed to be, which made a huge difference. I think from a perspective of caution with any type of AI or automation, just in general, I'm a huge believer that the risk and reward, you've got to be quite cautious with what you're prepared to risk. It's a bit like giving your my son 17, my eldest Oliver, giving him the keys to my car and just letting him go onto the road with absolutely no knowledge of what he's doing, what he's learning to drive. It's an accident waiting to happen. Whereas if you take him into an area with a bit of guidance and he can't do too much damage, then it's a great opportunity. Historically, with when we're trialing things, Stephen Bartlett is a prime example. He's a Diary of a CEO, which most people know from Dragon's Den, or he's obviously a big entrepreneur. I had an email signed up to his newsletter, and that came through with Dear F name on it. So, part of his approach within contacting lots of people, I think it was a new product that was going to market, I signed up for it, and the first thing that's come through immediately and said Dear James, it's Dear F name. So someone's got the sequence wrong on obviously the the mail, which from my perspective is, oh God, Jesus, the implications of that is quite a bit of egg on face, isn't it? It's no huge damage done long term, but whenever you're putting any type of new system in, that could be my target audience, and that makes me quite nervous. So you know, if we were to do regular mail slots or give a system complete access to autonomously drive my business, that does scare me quite significantly. So for me, lots and lots of trials and testing at every stage of the process, the point which you're completely happy with, and then trialing it with a smaller bit of a target audience, that's worked really well for us. And don't get me wrong, you know, the example that when we started using Drippify, which is the automated software we've never used before, being able to sort of use that and start targeting different people within a new market, it's bringing lots of new business opportunity to us. As I mentioned, it reached a huge audience from a recruitment perspective. But then I'm accidentally approaching my wife's staff at the same time. There's a huge amount of potential risk with that. So it's just making sure you're managing it effectively and not opening up yourself too much to...
What you're saying has just brought to mind an episode 2 years ago with a client of mine who had installed a rather marvellous system to identify from quite a big CRM. The business was well established. And the idea was to identify those people who had previously been active enough to get forwarded to a client and then hadn't been contacted. And they were so excited by the possibility of sort of almost for free totally renewing their candidate database. He left it with two of his more technically minded staff. And in their enthusiasm to get the job done, they sent automated messages out to something close to 20,000 candidates or former candidates in one day. And the message invited them all to call in and update their records. Well, you can imagine it. The telephone system actually crashed the next day.
Brilliant.
And so the outcome, the payback for all of this was some very, very stressed staff and precious few actually renewed candidates who could get through. And a lot more, I suspect, frustrated people who thought perhaps that when the phone number wasn't being answered, perhaps may have concluded that the business had gone bust. I really have no idea.
No, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, you know, everyone's got a story. I remember, you know, prior to automation and AI, you know, the bit of recruitment that we all did where you made the mistake of either contacting somebody who's working for a company you're recruiting for, you've accidentally headhunted them, or you sent a CV of someone in the rookie mistake that everyone's done at some point or know somebody that has sent a CV off of somebody who works for the company they're currently working for. And, you know, there's mistakes always made, but, you know, as a business owner now, the key is protecting the business. And, you know, I spent 10 years building up a brand now, which has got a market leading name. And for me, it's really important that, you know, effective recruitment is being done on a day-to-day basis. So the more we rely on automation and AI, there is a huge amount of risk that it could ruin your business. And you know, prime example, a bit off piece, but Tesla, you know, the autopilot feature on the car where it would literally drive itself, which in principle sounds fantastic. You know, my parents always said to me, you know, there'll be a day where cars drive themselves, and it does do that. But you know, the last, I think since launch, there's been several instances of accidents and fatalities relying on that. And I think Tesla's sort of way of getting around that is that, you know, drivers are advised never to, you know, switch off, go to sleep and sit in the back of the car while it's driving itself. You've got to remain engaged. But I think that's very similar to automation and AI. You can't rely, you've got to be so careful at every stage of that process, because ultimately the risk versus the reward, if you're sending out to 20,000 candidates and your phones aren't working, what's that experience for the candidate you've just contacted? Because for all they know, you're the only one person that they've been contacted. And
exactly,
for,
yes.
You know, it's that's the bit that does concern me. And that's the error of caution whenever we approach any type of AI. I mean, we're actually trialing a new piece of software at the moment from a business development tool that I'm getting targeted all the time by different businesses. And similar to yourself, actually, not the right, necessarily the right ones, but... there's a piece of AI software which can communicate with the decision maker. The whole sequence is around getting a meeting or a vacancy, and it's quite early concept. So it's very much a snippet of data being used and very much walked over like a hawk. But I'll keep you posted on that, because it's very, very early days. But they've asked us to do a bit of a trial with it to see how it sort of operates. But it's that kind of area, as long as it's not going to cause too much damage and making aware of it. And, you know, like my wife, when I approach one of her staff, embarrassing as it was, it is now humorous, and she's now using the same software.
I love your analogy of the self-driving car, that don't just go for a sleep in the back. You have got to remain alert and see what's going on. So this is so important for leaders of businesses to get implementation right. And, you know, it would be wonderful if you could just switch the button on and say, right, that's it, it's all working. But I think just to boil it down into a nice, memorable summary, four action points for leaders. First of all, be clear about what the aim is. What is it you're trying to achieve? And I want to delve into the whole return on investment thing a bit deeper.
Yeah.
Second, your point, test and retest. And third, I think importantly, segment. So rather than send out to 20,000, maybe even personalize slightly more, break down your group into, you know, people that you last spoke to 5 years ago compared to people that you spoke to 6 months ago and so forth. And send anything out that you're doing in smaller chunks so that the damage is minimized. And then the last point to having an implementation plan, I think, is enable. In other words, if it generates the results that you're expecting, do you have people enabled to actually deal with that? And I rather pleasingly just realized that what I've just said spells out a lovely acronym: A for aim, R for retest, S for segment, E for enable, ARSE. That should stick in people's minds. Okay, now let's talk a bit more about return on investment. Here's a weird thing. It's still early days, but if I look at all the ways that businesses I know are using automation and AI, they can all, after a while, point to placements that have been generated or redeployments, for example, of temporary workers that where their system has played a part. So, for example, you know, the fact that they've had an outreach to their candidate database to renew a candidate has led to somebody being redeployed into another assignment. However, here's the real challenge. Not one of the companies I know can give me a positive answer when I ask them, yes, but has overall performance per billing consultant, has it actually improved? So what we've got is expensive bits of software and kit actually, you know, providing more possibilities, but consultants not actually making extra placements, it would appear.
What are your thoughts on that? Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting observation. I think we're, you know, the world of recruitment now, there's so many tools and add-ons, isn't there, to the daily recruitment toolbox, that it's sometimes hard to measure the identity of which one's bringing the most amount through the funnel to the end placement. I mean, the good thing with a lot of tech is part of the way that it's being measured is and sold is based on the return of investment. So, you know, Tripify, for example, it's one of the automation that I'm not trying to sell it as a product because I keep mentioning it. It's just the first one that comes to mind currently. You can't really measure ChatGPT unless it's time-led. So, you know, whilst it might help me write the Christmas speech or some of our adverts, for me, it has saved hours and hours of parts of it. But in terms of sort of Tripify, the way that it's measuring the output, I can directly see what it's doing, what the conversion rates are, what the results are. So that for me gives an exact ROI. But when we measure the billing per consultant, is it adding more value to the process? You know, definitely we can measure new candidate registrations. We can see all parts of the key KPIs that we tend to focus on being increased through those mediums. But we've got four different divisions that recruit very differently. So they've all got various different tools in their toolbox that work for them. So yeah, from my perspective, whenever we're spending money on anything, I've got to really dive deep into how can we measure this? How can we see a return on it? If we can, then you've got to put a period of time in place which you're prepared to, I guess, wait for that return, and ultimately that will come out of the end of the placements or it won't.
And it's not, so the return isn't always what we think it's going to be. Just to be clear, if any of the audience are thinking, well, you know, it's not necessarily about making more money, I think you can also measure ROI in terms of experience enhancement, and you will see the results of that in your Google reviews, wouldn't you, ultimately?
Yeah. I mean,
but you've got to give it time.
You do, yeah. I mean, you probably said we use automation for getting reviews through Google, so it's something that every time we make a placement, a candidate will get a week later an auto response to ask them to give us a review. And I think, you know, it depends what you define success as. Now, for a lot of recruitment leaders, it ultimately comes down to placements, turnover, and margin in profit, doesn't it? But when we measure success, it's, for example, this year, it's about retention of candidates. So it's getting the fit right. It is about number of placements, but it's also about then the experience, the candidate experience. And I think the more we automate certain things, the lesser the experience that will be for the candidate. And I think we'll be very careful not to take out the humility of the consultant and the recruiter too much within this process. But when we look at AI and automation as a whole, I'm all for it as long as it doesn't impact the experience of the recruiter and the effectiveness of recruitment as a whole, because I think it could certainly add an awful lot of value. But in terms of return of investment, for us, it's the candidate experience as much as it is for making more placements and ultimately making our guys more productive, because that's really what it's doing, isn't it? Automation is all about reducing time spent and time wasted, which it's doing that in abundance. It's increasing the reach, but the implication of when it goes wrong, how much time did your clients spend having to fill 20,000 calls coming through?
Yes.
the amount of problems that are created off the back of that, it's
Briefly, your business is an interesting one because you operate across these broadly three divisions. So reminding the audience, it's construction, logistics market, and also engineering manufacturing.
Yeah.
So have you found that you need to consider those three markets, for example, separately when you're implementing any automation?
Yeah, well, most definitely. We recruit across blue collar, white collar, across the sectors you've just mentioned. We'll do retain work for senior appointments as well as blue-collar workers. So in terms of sort of the type of software, the implementation, and what we're doing, for example, our blue-collar team, we do an awful lot of our recruitment success through candidate generation is actually done through social media. So we use quite a bit through that. And it's a very different consideration to LinkedIn headhunting, for example, if we're talking about a £25,000 fee potentially for a six-figure director salary, and it's done on a retained basis. It will use LinkedIn to identify market map, but then the recruiter will have bespoke messages going out, or we might follow a sequence as an initial outreach, and then we'll be more personal as we go along. Whereas with the volume recruitment within, for example, our CRM, it will go through a sequence to specifically advertise the role, follow up on the individual, and then we'll try one more time for a friend campaign. And that works really well. But each division has very different considerations in terms of media that works more effectively for the candidate base and the reach that we want to get within that. So it's, you've just got to be very mindful of what you want to get out of it, really, for high volume recruitment. It's just volume of candidates. So it's all about reach, and we need programs that that can do that, not just to the active market, to the passive one as well. And you prime example, you mentioned your client's got a database which people haven't had any communication with, and that's exactly the same for us. We've gone through a passive market strategy, which once is implemented properly, you can certainly reach out to quite a significant number of people. It's really effective.
So yes, owners and implementers should be aware that they can't deal with their entire database necessarily in the same way. Okay, so I don't know about you, James. I feel actually really positive about how quickly our industry is now learning about and implementing systems, and the systems themselves are actually getting better. In some ways, I find that because the recruitment community now is so good at actually sharing advice, that's what we're trying to do here today, right? In a way that would have been unimaginable when I started my career, when people would have guarded any sort of knowledge or the names of any bits of kit or anything like that. They would have guarded them really jealously, like a trade secret. So I feel like there's a lot of openness and willingness to learn. And whereas I used to, you mentioned at the beginning of this interview, you mentioned what people were saying when LinkedIn first came out. And I can remember when job boards first happened and everyone was going, oh, this is the end, you know. But I don't see the kind of intransigent responses that I saw even a year ago, where recruiters were publishing messages just saying it's all awful and it'll never work, and you know the recruitment industry is entirely human. And I see more nuanced approaches. And what about you? What how do you anticipate use of AI in the recruitment sector will develop?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think, I don't know whether that's just the modern entrepreneur or recruitment leader, just we've all evolved, haven't we, over the years to be a bit more collaborative, because there's actually a lot of benefit from that in general, I think. But you know, AI, if you just look at the sheer funding being invested into AI and the number of conversations being around it, I think having gone through a few areas of change which may not have been embraced quite as much as over the years when you're talking through job boards or LinkedIn, I think people are now looking at change and thinking, well, do you know what, it might, you know, I don't think, you know, robots are going to take over the recruitment sector. I don't think we've got any major danger of, you know, of the whole recruitment process being done automated or through AI, because recruitment is an art. It needs human interaction. You know, the process of people taking a job, it involves face-to-face interaction, involves conversations, and there's an element of we are dealing with people, not paper here. So whilst a computer will be able to analyze lots of data, and that for us is the time saver, I think there's a really good synergy. People can see the potential in AI, and I can see, you know, if we fast forward 20 years from now, I'm certain it'll be taking up at least 40% of the recruitment process, from, you know, candidate generation, attraction. You know, there are elements of the workflow management that it will naturally take a part of, and things like business development mapping as well. And that initial, it will always be the first sort of part of the process. I think AI will play a key part in, but I think people will embrace it. You know, like I said at the very beginning, curiosity, but also cautious as well. People are keen to protect the brand, protect good practice within recruitment, and I think there's a way that can come together. But again, AI is very much in its infancy. We're very much an early concept idea, so there's an awful lot of kinks that need to be, you know, ironed out before it's an all ready to go system. And I think my advice at the moment is I wouldn't be looking to introduce and solely rely on any of these softwares at this stage. 5, 10, 20 years time, I think we'll be very surprised with what's happening then. But yeah, it'll be a very interesting market in the next 10 years, I think.
So just to summarise, we've covered, you know, the sort of essential and early automation that you've implemented and why you picked it. We've looked at the risks of implementation and the importance of the leader's role in that, about being clear on aims, about testing and retesting. Think of everything that could go wrong, segmenting your audience and then enabling your actual human workforce to respond to it. We've talked about the different ways of measuring ROI. So there's enabling sales, but there's also enhancing experience. And both of those actually ultimately do lead to financial rewards. And I think in conclusion, we're both very positive about it all. Now, listeners, between us, James and I have mentioned a number of providers today, and some of them are recent podcast guests. So James, you've mentioned you're a Firefish subscriber. Listeners might be interested to look up the recent podcast I did with the CEO of Firefish, Wendy McDougall. And similarly, you mentioned Red Nevada at the beginning, recently done one with them as well. James, you're also an author. Would you like to just tell the audience about your book?
Well, that's very kind, yeah. So my book is The Art of Recruitment, and over a sort of 20-year career in recruitment, you know, like I said at the very beginning, I'm a bit of an old school recruiter at heart. I do believe recruitment is an art. So I pieced together something which is a bit of a project of passion. It was a COVID project for me, which was The Art of Recruitment. And it's a book that there are an awful lot of recruitment books out there, written by a variety of different people, different experiences. And I guess I wanted to write something that was very easy to read, easy to digest. It was the kind of book that I wish I had throughout the whole point of my recruitment career, that not only focuses on how to improve each part of the process, but also to make you a better recruiter. And it focuses on how to excel as a recruiter. It's almost the blueprint, really, to becoming a limitless recruiter, which from my perspective was my ultimate goal throughout my whole entire career. So I kind of wanted to write the book that I always wished that I never had.
So, and it's on Amazon, yes?
It is on Amazon.
Okay, so The Art of Recruitment by James Kingston. And of course, any listeners who have missed my book, Seven Behaviours of Successful Recruitment Leaders, that is also available on Amazon. So, James, many thanks for joining me and for your most interesting input. And listeners, thank you for joining us again. This was the Recruitment Leadership Podcast, and I'm Alison Humphreys.
You've been listening to the Recruitment Leadership Podcast. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe, review, and share so that others can find the podcast too. We really appreciate your support. If you have any questions about the topics covered or wish to find out more about recruitment leadership, please email alison@recruitmentleadership.co.uk referencing the podcast. We're also on LinkedIn, where you can follow Recruitment Leadership and connect with Alison Humphreys. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us next time for another episode of the Recruitment Leadership Podcast.